You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Irish Racing Podcast on December the 4th with what looks an absolutely star-studded programme today at Fairy House, consisting of seven races, but we have three Grade 1 events plus a Grade 3 for the juveniles, two cracking handicaps and what looks a very intriguing bumper to close the card. So a glittering array of talent here for us this afternoon at Fairy House on ground, which is currently good to yielding in places. Hopefully it should be perfect. Fine sunny day. None of that fog that's obviously prevented us from seeing most of the action at Punchestown several weeks ago. So let's get stuck straight into the action. And the first race comes up at 12:40. It's the Bar 1 Racing Juvenile Hurdle, which is a Grade 3 contest, which brings together a small but very select field. We've got two horses that have certainly been punching their weight so far this season over in Ireland to a very high standard. They are Land of Hope and Glory and Mega Fortune, and they, of course, dominate the market from the Joseph O'Brien and Gordon Elliott stables. We'll deal with Land of Hope and Glory up to now. He was a useful horse on the level. He was rated 102 at his pomp, and he's made a seamless transition to hurdling based on his two performances so far today. The winner of the course and distance first time up in the early part of November. And then about a week later, he went to Punchestown on much softer ground. And although he sort of struggled in that under those underfoot conditions to a little degree, he was quite powerful in the latter stages to beat Zig Zag fairly comfortably. Back in the field was a horse called Bob About, who ties in quite nicely with Mega Fortune. And on the strict interpretation of his form compared to the second favourite, there isn't a great deal between them. But I do like Mega Fortune myself. I think he's a horse that certainly could go places in this department. Unfortunately, he was a faller first time out at Thurles when he unseated Ryder after the first. But he made no mistake second time up when he was well back to Dan Royal the other day. And it's these kind of horses that Land of Hope and Glory has beaten that makes Mega Fortune a reasonable bet today. Because Bob About and Zig Zag, the aforementioned pair, were well behind Gordon Elliott's charge at Dan Royal on the 5th of November. He literally sauntered to the front out and then stayed on very strongly in the latter stages. The ease in the ground will definitely suit this horse as well. He's got plenty of soft ground form on the flat. I love the two at the prices this morning. I just slightly prefer Mega Fortune, but it should be a very informative affair.
Race 2.
On to race number 2 then, which comes at 1:10. It's the Bar 1 Racing Royal Bond Novices Hurdle, a Grade 1 affair. Seven runners go to post, and all of them have shown decent quality form coming into this particular contest. I must admit, I did have a second look when I saw Peace News favourite here, albeit he looked a nice horse when he won at Cork. His time figure was OK, and he was quite strong in the finish, but 6-4, I couldn't have him on my mind at that price. I mean, he might well go and win, but I don't think he's any value at whatsoever based on what he actually achieved that afternoon. He's going to have to improve significantly for me to get to the level that some of these have already achieved. So I'm going to pass Peace News over at the prices. I'm going to take a bit of a punt here on Layback. Now, we know this individual is a bit of a quirky customer. When he was trained with Owen Burrows on the flat in the UK, he actually refused to race. And he refused to race for Gordon as well on his first start at Laytown. But since he's been kind of freshened up and they've got into his mind a little bit, he just looks a totally different horse. He won very easily at Punchestown two starts back. And then he went to a Grade 3 the other day at Navan. And in the end, he absolutely bolted up, showing an amazing turn of foot in the latter stages of that race to beat Mick Jazz and La Martelan. The time figure that he achieved on that particular occasion racing was very good. And there's no doubt that he's definitely got the ability to figure here if his mind is on the job. If it isn't, well, it could well be that William Mullins might come out on top here because he's got three decent representatives in the shape of Penzil, Saturnas and Early Beach. Early Beach, amazingly, has won six races off the spin. So the fact that this horse is languishing down at 10-1 just shows you what a deep race this contest is. But LeBake from the rampant inform Gordon Elliott charge stable is the tentative vote in the 110.
Race number three.
On to the second of the grade ones then, and this is the Bar One Racing Hatton's Grace, another grade one, which has been dominated over the years, of course, by Willie Mullins, and he's got the favourite here, who's likely to be a very, very warm order, in the shape of Vroom Vroom Mag, who when last seen won at Punchestown, winning the champion hurdle on that occasion, beating Identity Thief and Might Ent All Yours. Obviously, she's got plenty of speed and stamina combined. And as we saw at Cheltenham last year, once you you know, put her in a strongly run race, she's obviously very, very useful. But I don't think she'll have it totally all her own way here. And my recommendation would be perhaps to back Apple's Jade, a small win and perhaps a bigger win without the favourite, because to my eyes anyway, the other day, it looked as though she was coming to win the fighting fifth until getting brought down by Petit Mouchoir at the third last, when she was going well at the time. Now, given that she rallied really strongly in the closing stages and only just failed to claw back, Irving, of course, got first run, suggests to me that she improves quite significantly on that performance first time out at Down Raw when she got beat by Rashen, went 2-1 on favourite. As we saw last year when the ground was on the soft side, stamina was very much her forte when she won those two Grade 1 events. And stepping up in trip, I think, is what she's been crying out for. So receiving all the allowances from an informed stable with fitness on her side, I'd expect Apple Jays A, to put it up to the favourite, but B, at least chase the favourite home if all else fails.
Race 4.
On to the two then, which is the Bar One Racing Handicap Hurdle. This is a Grade A contest. And without a shadow of a doubt, this is the best two-mile handicap hurdle run either side of the Irish Sea so far. This race last year was won by Blue Hell. And the form worked out so well that a numerous amount of winners came out of it throughout the rest of the season. I suggest you do make a note of this race throughout the remainder of the season. It looks as though that, once again, Gordon Elliott has a bit of a stranglehold on this race this year. He's got Campeador in it, of course, who fell when going well at the last in the Fred Winter. He's bound to be popular, but he does have a horse in this race called McJazz, who seems to have turned the corner now. He's trained by Gordon Elliott. He won his first start very easily at Clonmel. Then he went to Navan the other day, and albeit he finished second in that Grade 3, he did get beat by Layback, who, of course, contested the Grade 1 earlier on. Now, that form of that race, I think, is pretty useful. And off a mark of 133 only, I do think this horse is particularly well handicapped. He's a strong traveller, and he should sure to be very, very competitive if he can run to the highest level, which he's already shown so far this season. Around about 11-2, he rates the obvious each-way choice. Another one to mention down the foot of the weights is St. Stephen's Green. Now, he's been plagued with jumping problems in his last two or three starts, and unfortunately, that problem read its ugly head last time out at Punchestown. But if he can jump a clear round and get to the level that saw him finish second to Heartbreak City, Galway, three starts ago, then he'd have definitely an each-way chance. So the way I see this race is that McJazz looks the obvious each-way alternative to the favourite, and maybe St. Stephen's Green is also worth a look as well.
Race 5.
On to the last of the Grade 1s then, which is the Bar One race in Drinmore, and this is definitely the most mouth-watering and eagerly awaited race on the card. We have got seven really high-class performers, all locking horns here with different intertwining form strands. We've got a Toy Phil, who is incredibly impressive when we saw him last time out at Punchestown in that Grade 2, beating Jetstream Jack very, very easily. For Desabo, of course, a Grade 1 winner over Hurdles, who's rated in the 160s. He's done nothing wrong on his last two chase starts. Annabelle Fly, who loud the colours of some useful horses last time out in a very decent chase at Navan. And we've also got Diamond King as well, the Coral Cup winner, who made the smooth transition to chasing the other day at Galway. But the one I quite like here at the prices is Coney Island from the Edward Harty stable. Now, He wouldn't be too far behind most of these on the bare bones of his hurdle form. Indeed, he chased down Bell's Hill in the Grade 1 at Punchestown last season, so he's obviously a high-class horse. And he did nothing wrong on his chasing debut at Punchestown on his seasonal reappearance when he chased down Haymont in a very competitive and strongly run beginner's chase. Back in third was Maldini, of course, won at the Cheltenham Festival last year. But horses such as Stonehard, Woodland Opera, Just Cause, all made that race a very strong-looking one on paper. The time figure was very good. And Coney Island, like I said, stayed on very strongly in the latter stages. Now, he probably wants a little bit further in time, perhaps 3 miles, but I do think he's got enough qualities here to match his attitude to go very well at a big price. So, Coney Island, I wish it was 8 runners here, but Coney Island is the selection around about 20-1 this morning.
Race number 6.
On to the 3.10, which is the 3 mile 6 Porterstown handicap. Now, the second, third and fourth from the Cork Grand National Lockhorns again here. We've got Forever Gold, Asda Peak and Undressed. And I'll probably go with Forever Gold, who finished second on that occasion. He chased down Raz de Marie. And he ran all the way to the line very, very solidly once again. This nine-year-old is a model of consistency. And he's also got some really good form over hurdles and over fences here at Fairy House, which might just tip the balance in his favour. Plus the fact he's ridden by Chris Timmons as well, who gets on really well with Edward Corley's charge. So Forever Gold is the choice in the penultimate race.
And the final race.
On to the final contest then, which it looks to be a very informative bumper, which comes up at 3.40. The selection here is Get a Bird from the William Mullins stable. Connections had to go to €200,000 to acquire this horse, courtesy of a point-to-point success at Largin. It's not normally the kind of avenues that Rich Ritchie goes down. He often gets a lot of French breads. He doesn't really buy point-to-point horses, but obviously his advisors told him to get hold of this horse, and he's been significantly backed in the market so far this morning. The other two, Caltex and the top one here, they've both got Colino Dairy. They've both got decent form in bumpers. Caltex finished second to a horse called Dingo Dollar. Of course, he's now in the care of Alan King, and finished second on his Royals debut behind one of Tom Lacey's at Bangor, so that form doesn't look too bad. And Colino Dairy, he also beat a decent horse in the shape of Instant Reply, who's now plying his trade over this side of the Irish Sea as well. So those two obviously are very useful. But whether they're good enough to beat Get a Bird is very much open to question. Thanks very much for listening to this edition of the Irish Racing Podcast. Hopefully enjoy what should be a star-studded afternoon. You're back plenty of winners, and you rejoin us again later on in the week. It's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.